Mark chapter number 10, verse number 46. And they came to Jericho, and as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Just a simple message here this morning with the time that we have remaining. I want to ask you a question. What can God do for you today? Do you know that He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? Do you realize that He's a God that wants to pour out His blessings in your life? He's a God who wants to take care of you and provide for you, but you must come unto Him with a heart of humility and honesty and say, God, I need Your help. A lot of times, you know, we get our hearts hardened, we stiffen our necks, and we think, you know what, I can figure out life on my own. I think I know what's best. And maybe sometimes we do, but listen, we need God. I need God. We need God in our life, integrated. I mean, involved in our life day by day. And just a few thoughts that I want to give you here about how that we can get the helping hand of God and the hand of God's favor upon our lives from this story of blind Bartimaeus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time. I pray that You'd be with us now in the next few moments that we have. We ask, Holy Spirit of God, for a special portion of Your power, for wisdom, for unction, Lord, liberty. I ask, Holy Spirit of God, that You'll be able to walk up and down the aisles and among the seats here today and encourage our hearts, revive us, rekindle a fire, cause our hearts to burn brighter and bigger for Thee. Lord, I pray that You'll convict us in the areas that we might need a little bit of working. Lord, whatever it is that it is that we need done in our hearts and lives today, I pray that we'll be honest and transparent with You and be sensitive to Your still small voice, sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Thank You for this chapter, the truths that we're about to see. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. The Bible says here in verse number 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho. What in the world did the Lord, why did he come to the city? Well, corresponding scripture with scripture, we find that the only reason that Jesus came to the city of Jericho was to go find Zacchaeus. And there in Luke chapter number 19, verse number 10, he gives us that precious truth that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I find it interesting because the Bible says that Jesus was in Capernaum, and then he went to the far side of Jordan. I mean, the Bible says by the coast of Judea. I mean, he was way out there in the wilderness. And he's going to go back to Jerusalem, and he actually goes, if you look at a map, he goes way out of his way to go to Jericho just to reach Zacchaeus and also to be able to reach blind Bartimaeus. By the way, this is not the message, but this is just a thought. I was preparing this last night and this morning, and the Lord really just began to move in my heart as I realized, wow, God will go to whatever lengths necessary to get me. Amen? I mean, it doesn't matter how far away I might be from God, He will do everything to find a lost sheep. Amen? I mean, listen, it doesn't matter, as someone once said, He'll save people from the guttermost to the uttermost. I mean, listen, if we're in the dregs and the wickedness of sin and we're messing around in the cesspool of the world, it doesn't matter if we're right down the street. It doesn't matter if we're far away in some distant nation. What a blessing to realize that God will go to whatever lengths necessary to reach us. That's a blessing. He went out of His way. He went out of His way to go to Jericho. And He did that. The Bible says that He came, in verse number 46 of our text, He came to Jericho. And it skips over the story of Zacchaeus, but you can find that in Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1 through 10. I mean, of course, he was there teaching and preaching and ministering there and giving people the truth of the Word of God, of course, and wisdom from God. And we know the story of Zacchaeus, how the people were gathered round. I mean, the Bible says that there was a lot of press there. I mean, people were shoulder to shoulder. I mean, they were trying to look at this Savior, this Jesus, this Messiah. And oh, they were hanging upon every word. But Jesus was there trying to find somebody. Of course, you know, he was just a little guy trying to get through the crowd, and he couldn't because he was the tax collector. Nobody likes the IRS. Amen? Oh, is this being recorded? Please delete that, all right? But anyway, listen, no, I mean, you know, having to pay taxes, and Jesus says, listen, I know that you may not like to pay taxes, but whose face is on the coin? Well, it's Caesar's. Well, given to Caesar that which is Caesar, and by the way, given to God the things that are God's. Amen? And I'm really going off the deep end, but by the way, our body is God's. So we should give God our body. Amen? Just a little side thought. But anyway, I mean, they did not like the tax collector. And this guy, he was more than just a tax collector. He was a crooked individual. I mean, he charged people more than what they were supposed to give. And he increased the rates and inflated things. So that way, his own personal pocket could be full. And of course, how that he climbed up the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, of course I'm paraphrasing in the form of a song, amen, Zacchaeus, you come down. I want to go to your house today and I want to be with you and I want to tell you how that even though you're a wicked, crooked, vile individual, you can be saved, amen. And of course, the people were excited. The Bible says, of course, that there was a great multitude, a great number of people coming out of the city of Jericho with him. Man, I'd be happy too and excited too if all the tax people got saved. Amen? And anyway, but let's just move on. We're just kind of rambling here. But the Bible says that as he came out of the city, that there was a blind individual. We don't know his name. A lot of times we attribute his name to be Bartimaeus. But the name Bartimaeus simply means what we see in verse number 46, the son of Timaeus. An unknown beggar. An unknown blind individual. Of course, it doesn't really matter what his name was. Jesus knew who he was. And he had a need. He had a very big problem. He was blind. We don't know if he was blind from birth. We don't know if his blind was caused by an accident. We don't know if he had eyeballs or not. We don't know. All I know is that he was blind. He couldn't see. That would be a very big problem. That would be a very real need. And the Bible says that he caught wind and he heard the name Jesus. Man, he started getting excited. He realized this is the same one who had healed other blind men. This is the same one who caused the fish and the bread to be multiplied so that 5,000 men, besides the women and the children, could eat. This was the one who raised the widow's son up from the dead and caused Lazarus to walk out of the tomb and was there for the lame and for the palsy and for all the people who were demon-possessed. Hey, if he could help them, he might be able to help me too. And there's a couple of principles here today, and this is not a deep message or a long message by any stretch of the imagination, but just a couple of truths that will help us, get in front of the Lord, so to speak, so that God can help us in the things that we have in life. I don't know about you, but there are times, and of course we don't publicize our problems, and we don't share our needs with others, but every single one of us have problems. Amen? Every single one of us have needs. Whether you don't have them now, you're going to have them. All right, just mark it down. And listen, I need God. And there came a point in time in blind Bartimaeus' life that he realized, I need God as well. Point number one, if you're taking notes this morning, just a few thoughts here for you today. Number one, if you want God to do something great for you, you must fully examine yourself. Blind Bartimaeus was a beggar. Sitting by the side of the road, he had himself a little bucket or maybe he had a cup or something so that he could collect alms from those who were passing by. And there came a point in time that he had to realize, in his life, as I've already mentioned a couple of times here this morning, briefly, I need help. In order to acknowledge the fact that you need help, you must first look inside yourself. Do not look at everybody else and see what everybody else's problems are. He needs to get right with God. You know, she's, you know, this and he's that. I'm just joking, of course. I have no... But listen, all right? Instead of looking at everybody else, and we're good at that, aren't we? I mean, we're good at examining everybody else and putting our nose in everybody else's business and judging people and thinking we know better than they do. Listen, get your eyes off of yourself and look at... get your eyes off of other people and look at yourself. Amen? Realize that you have a need. Realize that you have a problem. Realize and examine your heart and see how that you're lacking in certain areas and you need God in your life in order to make those things that are hard to be able to pass with ease. Fully examine yourself. Honesty before God. The Bible teaches us here in the story that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." The word mercy is a word that's often found through Scripture, and we're familiar with its definition. The best way to compare it and to understand it is to also view it with grace. Grace is getting what we don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what we truly deserve. And there were some things that blind Bartimaeus realized in his life. You know what? I don't want to have to endure what I'm living through. I don't want to have to continually be stuck here as a blind individual. I want to prosper in life. Amen? I mean, I want to accomplish great and mighty things. I don't want to be a beggar. I mean, till the day I die. I don't want to just spin my wheels and be stuck in the muck and the mire of this. I want to overcome. Amen? I want to be an achiever. I want to be a winner. I want God to use me, so to speak. Mercy, not getting what we truly deserve. And he said, okay, I'm going to ask God, the God of mercy, to have mercy on me. His mercy endureth. The Bible teaches us in the book of Lamentations that is new and fresh every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And how the Bible says that many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out a great deal. I mean, he cried out even louder, "Jesus, thou son of David, please help me. Oh God, I realize, after fully examining myself, I realize that I have a need. And God, you are the one who can supply that need. God, you are the one who can answer this problem. You're the one who can help me through this difficulty. God, I don't want to be stuck with this the rest of my life. I want to see you perform something miraculous through this." Are you getting the drift this morning? And there came, secondly, a point in time where he had to forget about what everybody else thought. He had to forget what everybody else thought. Number two, forget what everybody else thinks. Sometimes people say this or that, but listen, we need to just set our eyes on Christ and focus on the Lord and say, you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to get a hold of God. I'm going to do whatever it takes to get a hold of the throne of grace. Sometimes people want to say, well, you know, this and that, and they want to discourage you, and they want a bad mouth or back talk or things of that nature, when we just need to be a people who are going to set our eyes and set our hearts and set our minds to seek the Lord and not let anything distract us or take us away from that, but truly to seek God's face. And even though there might be opposition from the world, and even though there might be opposition from the flesh, and even though there might be opposition from the devil and his crowd and sin, to be quiet and to not seek God's face and to find His strength and power. Oh, there would be a people that would wrestle just like Jacob did and say, I need God in my life. Nothing's going to hold me back. Nothing is going to keep me away from it. I am going to get a hold of the throne of grace so that I can find mercy in that time of need. That I can find help and I can have strength to be able to go through this. Are you with me this morning? Would you say amen? Amen. Fully examine yourself. Forget what everybody else thinks. Number three, forsake anything that might hold you back. Forsake anything that might hold you back. The Bible says in verse number 50, and he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Of course, you're probably very familiar with this, I don't know, but back then, a blind man's cloak was really his only possession. He couldn't see. He probably didn't have a home. He slept on the side of the road. Maybe somewhere in the woods. I don't know. But everything that he held dear to himself, he had on his person. He had right there with him. Whether it was a trinket, whether it was a tool, whether it was some kind of a treasure, it was right there. And he said, you know what? All of this stuff is trivial compared to what I can have through Christ. And he was looking at the things that he had, and he said, listen, I'm going to cast it away. It must have meant, and maybe I'm only the one that sees this. I don't know if anybody else notices this as well, but he was not just putting it off to the side. He cast it away. That means he threw it to the side. It's almost as if the devil was trying to get him at one last moment to say, well, what about all this and that and the stuff that you're going to leave behind? Well, just stay here where you're at and be comfortable in the things that surround you. And he said, no, forget it. I'm going to cast it away. I'm going to forsake it. I don't want anything to hold me back from being able to get a hold of God and to be able to get through to God and to be able to be a Christian who has a life that is blessed of God. And the Bible teaches us here that he forsook the thing that would hold him back. He radically stepped out and said, I want nothing between my soul and the Savior. I find a similar heart and I find a similar mindset there in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, where Paul also was trying to teach that church there in Philippi that knowing Christ and being able to have that close walk with God and being able to sit at His feet and to be right there in the presence of the Lord was the greatest thing that you could ever have in your life. He said in Philippians 3 verse number 8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win, or that I may gain Christ. Verse number 10, that I may know Him. I mean, have a walk with Him, have a relationship with Him, and the power of His resurrection. He said, yea, or truly, without a doubt, I count all things but loss. I mean, I could accumulate, I could acclimate, I mean, I could get all this stuff. I can, as we heard about in the Sunday school lesson, I can gain earthly possessions and positions. But if I never gain Christ, it's all but done. It's all a loss. Let me ask you this morning, what's your perspective on life? What's your pursuits in life? If it came down to it, are you willing to forsake all to be able to have Him? And blind Bartimaeus had to come to the point in his life where he said, you know what, I'm going to cast it to the side. I don't want anything to hinder me. I don't want anything to hold me back. I don't want anything to stop me from experiencing God being able to perform miracles in my life. Are you with me? And listen, we should have that heartbeat. We should have that desire and say, you know what, this little jar that I have to collect money, this is nothing. The things that I may have in life, my possessions, they are nothing compared to having that relationship with God and that opportunity to get a hold of God. I hope this is making sense this morning. Forsake anything that might hold you back. He radically stepped out and said, I want nothing between my soul and the Savior. I find it interesting and that Paul said there in our text of Philippians 3, verse number 8, that the knowledge of God was excellent, or it was a cut above everything else. It was a step above everything and anything else that we could possibly think is excellent in life. Is that our perspective this morning? Do we have that mindset? Do we have that vision? Do we go through the formality of our Christianity just because it's the thing to do? Or do we aspire? Do we desire? Amen. Now, do we have that fervency? I mean, that passion beating in our heart that we want God involved in our lives. Amen. The Bible says here in our text that blind Bartimaeus began to cry out, "Lord, have mercy. I'm a blind man. I need help." "Well, be quiet, Bartimaeus. I can't. I can't hold my peace. I've got to cry out even more. This is Jesus we're talking about. He can help me." Jesus beckoned that he should come. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls." I'm going to cast this away. This will hinder me. This stuff will it was a hindrance in his life. He said, "This stuff is going to be something that is going to maybe cause me to hesitate to have that closeness with God." And he said, "You know what? If it's this or that, if it's the world or if it's Christ, I would rather have Christ and forsake the world." And he did that. The Bible says in verse number 51, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" By the way, the thoughts that we looked at so far are what caused blind Bartimaeus to have the opportunity for Jesus to ask him that. Amen? Jesus did not go to him where he was by the side of the road and saying, "Blind Bartimaeus, you're blind. How are you? Hey, what can I help you with?" No, blind Bartimaeus had to have some initiative. He had to be the one that says, "Okay, I'm going to fully examine myself. I have a problem. I have a very real need. I need God." It took humility. It took honesty. And then he decided to forget what everybody else might have had to say, and he forsook anything that would hold him back, and he was passionate about getting a hold of God and getting a hold of God's help. The Bible says in verse number 51, I believe it's teaching us here, that he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." I believe, and of course the Bible does not specifically say that this happened, but in a sense, whether it physically happened, spiritually it did happen. Number four, he fell before the face of Almighty God. He fell before God, said, "Lord," or he acknowledged that God was sovereign. Amen. He acknowledged that God was master, that God needed to have first place, that he was Lord, that he had preeminence. Amen. "Lord," and then with humility, "that I may receive my sight." He fell before God. Let me ask you, Christian, when is the last time that you did this in your life? You're going through the struggles and the troubles of life that you actually fell before the face of God. Listen, and you truly beg God to help you in your life. Listen, blind Bartimaeus was blind. I don't know if you're getting that. How would you like to walk around blind for your whole life? And then you have an opportunity to no longer be blind. You only have one chance. I mean, if I was in blind Bartimaeus' shoes, I would do everything in my power to be unblind. Amen? To be able to see. And listen, I don't know if you're getting it today, all right? But just the parallel to the Christian life of how we should be with God in our life. Oh God, I understand. I am lacking. I need you. I need your strength. I need your power. I realize that I have issues and I have problems. I have needs. And you're the one who can supply my every need. And I am going to forget what everybody else and everything else says, trying to help me and this and that. I'm going to get a hold of you, oh God. I'm going to forsake the things that might hold me back. And I'm going to fall before you in honesty and humility. Fall before God. And the Bible says in verse number 52 that Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I believe the fifth principle that we find here this morning is that we need to have faith that God can. Have faith that God can. What is faith? This is just a couple of definitions that I wrote down. Faith is courageously believing that God is able. Courageously believing that God is able. Number two, faith is trusting in an invisible God to move and work in unknown circumstances in our life. Of course, blind Bartimaeus could see Jesus. Well, excuse me, he couldn't see him, he was blind, but Jesus was... That was bad, okay? Jesus was there. It was a physical thing. But Jesus is spiritual today and this morning. He's an invisible God. Faith is believing, courageously believing that God is able. Faith is trusting. in an invisible God, especially today to those of us who have never seen God, all right, in the New Testament age, trusting in an invisible God to move and work in unknown circumstances in our life. We cannot see the future. We don't know what's going to happen even later today or tomorrow. It's unknown to us. We may, you know, figure it out, at least try to, with a plot and a plan and, you know, and a vision and goals and all this kind of stuff and try to organize and structure our life, but we really don't know what's going to happen. We don't. Only God does. And faith is saying, you know what, Lord? I am going to believe that you are going to move and work in my life for my good and your glory some way, somehow, and that you have my best interest in mind, and I'm just going to take a step forward and I'm going to cast it upon Thee, knowing that You care for me. And God, this is my problem. God, I need Your help. God, here's the problem. You take it, because You want to take it. And I believe that You'll help me through this circumstance, that You'll help me through this trial, this tribulation. And God, I'm going to have faith in You that I will be able to make sense of it all. Or that I'll be able to see. And blind Bartimaeus, Jesus said, "Go." He came to the Lord in a heart of faith. That's because we know that, because Jesus says, "Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." By the way, he could have fully examined himself, said, "Wow, yeah, I really have a problem. I'm in great need." He could have not been discouraged, not been distracted with what everybody else was saying. He forsook, you know, he forsook. The things that the people were saying, and he forsook the things that would hold him back and hinder him. He could have done all that. He could have fell before the face of God. But if he didn't have a heart of faith, guess what? He would have never seen God perform the miracle. And we might do all of that, ladies and gentlemen, in our hearts and lives, but yet we still feel like we're spinning our wheels. Let me ask you, how's your faith in God this morning? Do you truly trust in God? What are you trusting in? What are you believing in? Are you trusting in your bank account more than God? Are you trusting in your paycheck and your job that you have and the benefits that it gives more than God? Are you trusting in this and that? I don't know what in the world it might be, but listen, nothing should get in the way. I mean, we should have a steadfast faith and trust and belief in Almighty God. Amen? He said, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." He fully examined himself. He forgot what everybody else thought. He forsook anything that might hold him back, hinder him. He fell before God. He had faith that God could. Have faith that God can. And I find it interesting that, of course, the Lord, the Bible says in verse number 52, did heal him. And it says immediately he received his sight. The Bible says that he followed Jesus in the way. The Bible teaches us in Psalm 116, verse number 12, David was thinking about how that God helped him in his trouble, how that God had helped him in his problems that he was going through. And he was like, "Wow, God has just blessed me beyond my wildest dreams. Wow, God was there for me. He was there with me. He really did help me. He was in time and on time." Amen. I mean, he was right there when I needed him. And in verse number 12 of chapter number 116, he asks a question. I can see him there as he's standing underneath the night sky, and he raises his hands up in the air unto the Lord in heaven, and he cries out that question, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me?" Or what can I show God, and how can I express my appreciation and my gratitude for all that God has done for me? And we find that in the same sense, Bartimaeus had the same thing run through his mind. Here it was. He's blind. He's a beggar. He comes before the Lord. He has faith in God. He's able to see. He did not walk away with a heart of ingratitude. He did not walk away forgetting about what God did for him. But we find instead of forgetting, he followed. And in a sense, He thought, wow, God performed a miracle. God helped me. God, I mean, with excitement. I mean, God, what can I do to express my gratitude for what you have done for me? But also more than just that, I wonder if the thought crossed his mind, you know what, God helped me with this. And if God could help me with this, God can help me again. If God could help me in such a big situation as this, God can help me with the smaller things of life that I have to deal with day by day. I'm going to follow Jesus, amen? Though no man join me, still I will follow. The world behind me, the cross before me. I mean, I have decided to follow Jesus. That was his heart, amen? And oh, that we would have that same passion, that same heart. And I'll be honest with you, it bothers me when Christians get a hold of God and say, God, I need you in my life. And when God helps them in their life, then they then forsake the Lord after that. They begin to forget. I mean, they go back to the old hat of things. Do you understand what I'm talking about here this morning? Are you with me? Would you say amen? Somebody please say something. Amen. Listen, I mean, it's important to realize that God has a heart too, just like you and me. Amen. He created us to be who we are. He has emotions, just like you and me. He created them, all right? If you help someone, and then they gave you a cold shoulder, and refused to acknowledge your help, and were very ungrateful for what you did for them, you'd be hurt, wouldn't you? How do you think God feels when sometimes we do that in our lives to Him? God is not there just to be your little Mr. Fix-It. He's there to have daily fellowship with you. And some of you folks in here, if we're not careful, we will fall into the rut and believe the devil's lie of what he wants us to do, and that is to get God to help us when we need Him, and then forget about God the rest of the other times. I know this is a little bit of a hard preaching here, but listen, I believe that there needs to be an old-fashioned revival in America once again of people who will follow Jesus in the way. Amen? And say, listen, I'm going to decide to follow the Lord through thick and through thin. I have chosen the way of truth. I'm not going to turn to the right hand or to the left. God has done so much for me. The least I could do to express my appreciation for what He has done is to live my life for His honor and His glory. The Lord has saved us. If He only did that, it would be enough reason to live for Him. The Lord, though, helps us day by day in our lives. God wants to help you. Jesus wants to be there for you. Let me ask you today, what can God do for you? What problem are you facing? What difficulty are you going through? There needs to be a point in time, if you must understand, if you want God to do something great for you, you must fully examine yourself. Understand and realize you need help. I need help. I can't do it in my own strength. Have honesty. That we would forsake and forget the things that would hold us back and the things that would hinder us. That we would do whatever it takes to get a hold of God. Fall before Almighty God. Have faith that God can. And then after we see God do the impossible and perform the miracles, oh, that we would follow Him in the way. With a heart saying, Lord, what can I do to show You and express unto You my appreciation for all that You've helped me with? Listen this morning, Jesus will go out of His way to help you. Jesus went out of His way to go find Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus. Completely out of His way. He walked it. He didn't drive. He didn't ride on a donkey. All right. He didn't take the airplane. He walked all that distance to go help two people. God will go to whatever lengths, not only to save you, but also to help you in your daily life. Amen. What lengths are you willing to go to in order to have God help you in your life? Let's have